Rip City, what is going on? We're back for another episode of the Unbiased Trailblazers podcast. This is now four in a row. I'm lost track because it's so frequent now. But we're back and we're staying on schedule. I got Fawad here with me. How are you doing tonight, Fawad?
I'm good. Yeah, I think it's four in a row. Nothing gonna stop us anytime soon. I think, you know, we're rolling. We're gonna keep rolling.
It's on. So we're going to hop right into this because it's probably going to be a fairly short podcast, but there's a couple of things that we wanted to talk about. For those of you who have listened to the last episode, obviously, you know, it was mainly all about my opinions on trading Simons. I've taken some heat on Facebook. I've taken some heat on Twitter. I've taken some heat in Discord. Not a lot in Discord. But in Discord, I've taken some heat on the ever fun Reddit. So since that last episode, Fawad, has your opinion changed at all? Have you thought any more about it, or are you still kind of in the same area you were last time?
Generally I'm in the same area, but I thought about it a lot more. And there's been things happening around the league that have made me think about it more. Raptors are currently in the middle of, I think, a 6-game losing streak. Let me just double check. Yes. Lost 6 in a row, only won 2 of their last 8. A lot of people, both fans on, you know, Reddit, Twitter, everything, and sources like, I think, Jake Fisher and Isaac Lowe said it, that, you know, a lot of other teams are really looking at that situation and trying to grab, you know, whoever becomes available. And, you know, we don't know who's going to become available, but if this poor stretch continues, it's very likely that they might trade some of their players. They might do like a quick mini tank for Victor, and that could be really good for us. So I was thinking about it, and you know, a lot of people want OG. Personally, like I said last week, I think Siakam would be one of the best possible fits next to Dame. And I think, you know, the more I'm thinking about it, I'm kind of preying on their downfall and hoping Siakam becomes available. I think, you know, we have one of the more competitive offers in the league for Siakam. You know, OG is a good player, but a lot more teams want him. And, you know, because of that, his asking price is going to be more than what his value is, in my opinion. As we can get fair value for Siakam, maybe even, you know, like a really good steal. Because, you know, every single team in the league wants a 3-and-D player like OG. Only a few teams can A, afford to trade for Siakam, and B, still be good after giving up assets for him. We're in a unique position. So if he becomes available, I think, you know, we have to jump on that. And, you know, I think some Raptors fans were in our Reddit as well.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them liked some of the trade offers that we were proposing. And if, you know, the other team is liking our offers, then that means, like, that's probably a competitive offer, because fans are, you know, more homer than, you know, than neutrals or than the front office. So if fans are okay with some of the trades out there, then it means that's probably pretty fair value. I'm not saying that fans should be GMs or should be making any decisions for any teams, not at all. Saying that it's not just that we're being biased and thinking that's his fair value. There's other people on the other side that also think it's fair value. But yeah, I think last week, I don't know if I discussed a package on our podcast or if it was just in Discord, but I think probably our most competitive offer is Simons and Sharp. You know, that gives them, obviously we discussed Simons, but I don't know if I mentioned the Sharp part. That gives them a huge piece, a huge young piece locked in on a long-term contract in Simons. You know, Van Vliet has been very, very bad this season. this stuff I said last week, you know, he fills in the Van Vliet slot right away. He makes them better. He's locked in for a long contract, and he fits, you know, age wise with the rest of the core, with Scotty, with OG if they keep him, and with whoever they draft this year. And Sharp, obviously a lottery pick. He's already shown good potential. He's shown to be ahead of where most people thought he was. And yeah, that just might be someone who I was interested in. But my other option, if Blaze just feel like giving Simons and Sharp both is too much. Actually, I want to give credit to, I want to say it was Randy, but it was someone in our Discord that brought this up, because I didn't think there was another one that worked financially. I'm looking for it, but I think it was Simons, Nas, and Keon, or Simons, Nas, and someone else. I think it was Keon. And then maybe throw in a first if we need to. You know, either of those packages, I'm more than okay with.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to ask you, like, one, what are your thoughts on either of those two packages? And two, do you still prefer OG over Siakam, or how do you feel about, like, which one?
Yeah, so last when we did the podcast last time, for some, I don't know why, for some reason, Pascal did not even cross my mind. And the moment you brought him up, he instantly was number one on my board. Like, I was big on OG. I was big on, now I can't remember. Like, Jimmy Butler was another person I was big on. But the moment you said Siakam, I forgot all about them. Siakam would be the number one. If we could trade Simons and get Siakam, that is the number one player that I would want to try to get. But before I go into all that, I just wanted to say you're 100% right. And actually, let me back up just a little bit more. Reddit, like I said, I took some heat in Reddit for my trade discussion about it. But I thoroughly enjoy, even when Reddit can be toxic, I thoroughly enjoy talking with people on there that are actually like looking to have a discussion. So if you're listening and you're on Reddit and you were discussing with me, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I appreciate it. I know Reddit can be toxic. I know Twitter can be toxic. But I know one place that isn't toxic, and that's our Discord. So if you're listening and you're not in there, get in there, because it's a good time. But anyways, enough with all that. You're spot on, though. You had talked about maybe Toronto decides to tank for Victor, and this is the perfect year to capitalize on that. Some of these teams are going to be willing to do that because of how high that guy's ceiling is and how crazy he is. And, you know, maybe where this year Toronto might not be as open if Victor wasn't there, they might take that chance of going for him. So that was a very good little addition to your point. But yeah, Siakam to me, number one guy. Let's put it this way. The two trade scenarios you gave me, I am much more a fan of the Simons, Nas, and Keon in the first. I'm much more a fan of that one, only because I do see flashes from Sharp, and it's crazy to say because I was so upset when we drafted him, and you know, but I do see it. I can see where he can move and, you know, develop into a all-around good player. And he does have a chance to be a big star. Can it happen? It can. Will it happen? Who knows? It remains to be seen. But there is flashes of him being like that. So I would hate to give up Simons and Sharp for, you know, really anybody, because I do think in 2-3 years, Sharp could be a very valuable piece. And I know that's towards the end of Dame's window. So that's where we would have to really sit and think about it. I wouldn't say it's a crazy idea to do both of them. But it would be a lot harder for me to just be like, yeah, let's do it. Even with how much I like Siakam. A couple things I wanted to add on Siakam, why I think both of us kind of are big on him. Offensively, we know he's good, and he's just as good defensively. Maybe not as good defensively as, I don't know. What do you think? Do you think he's better defensively than OG?
No, I think OG is probably one of the best defenders in the league, but he's still like Siakam is still definitely a really, really good defender.
Yes, very, very much so. I agree. I think OG is one of the probably, I mean, you, I think you mentioned it. He's probably going to be in the defensive player of the year, and I think he is too. But the one thing I wanted to share, like stats wise, and I'm not huge on advanced stats, but it's something that I do like to look at just to kind of gauge if it even kind of does make sense. And it's his, and it's Siakam's offensive box score plus minus is 5.2. Okay. Simons's offensive box score plus minus is 2.5. So offensively right there, that's showing you that Siakam's much more productive offensively than Anthony is. And he may not score as much. Let me look here. How much is, I don't even know how much Pascal's averaging this year. What's his? He is averaging, oh my gosh, 20. Okay, 25. So he's right there with Simons. Okay. But here's the other thing that really stands out to me with him. His defensive box score plus minus is 0.3, whereas Simons is negative 1.8, which we all know Simons is not good defensively, so it's not, no shock there. But both of those statistics being positive for Siakam is like, it helps validate why he would be such a good fit for us. And I do think we get Siakam that moves Grant to the three. We still have Josh Hart to move to the two. Sharp has more minutes. And one thing we forgot all about all of this trade talk, we still have Gary Payton. That's if you trade Simon, that frees up a lot more time for Gary Payton to come in. Who knows? He may even end up being starting over Josh Hart, and you have Josh Hart coming off the bench, which is, I mean, I have no issue with Josh Hart coming off the bench. We honestly expected that to happen at the beginning of the season. So, no, I agree with you. Siakam's number one for me. And if that was, there's not many other players that I would want to get that's realistic to get. And I think it is a possibility. So, is there anything else you want to add on as far as the Siakam trade?
Yeah, the one thing, I guess I'll play like somewhat devil's advocate. Actually, first of all, I want to clarify earlier. Definitely prefer the, you know, not trading Sharp, but I was just saying that I'm also okay with that because I think the West is so wide open that with Siakam, we're probably, like, I think we have a good chance to get to the finals.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I do think if it came down to that, I think I probably in the long run would be okay with it.
But I was saying, yeah, to play devil's advocate, like the only concerns I can think of with trading for Siakam are one. I think there is only one, so I don't know why I'm listing them. But our bench is, you know, I think it's been clear so far that it's not great, and you know we're more or less doing a 1-for-1 rotation wise, unless we. I guess if Nas comes back, I guess he could be in the rotation. But like for the most part, it's just Simons for Siakam playing time wise.
Mm-hmm.
But Simons is one of our like three, maybe four good shooters. So if we're losing that, like Siakam is a good shooter too, but Simons is like one of the best in the league. So if we're losing that good of a shooter, it could hurt our spacing, especially moving Grant down to the three, which, you know, he is more than capable of playing. But it's possible that it could hurt our spacing. Is, you know, a legitimate concern. I would hope that we, you know, maybe make another trade, get a shooter, or, you know, get better scorers on the bench, or, you know, even just someone in the buyout market, which, you know, almost never happens in Portland, but if we can find someone, like even one player who's a decent shooter and somewhat create his own shot, like not, they don't even need to create their own shot. If they can just hit the open shot, then that like eases most of the concerns with spacing. And you know, like other than that, I don't really see any reason why that's not a great trade for us. Like maybe Simons one day becomes better than Siakam, but Siakam's an all NBA player already, mm-hmm. and he's mm-hmm. probably having his best season. So you know, you don't. Even if you think Simons can get there, like the risk of him maybe getting there versus already getting someone who is at that level and the position that we probably need the most, like for me, it's, you know, almost a no-brainer.
Yeah. Well, and it fits the timeline better.
Yeah.
Yes, Simons could, like you said, become an all-NBA player, but that's still going to take time, and it's probably going to be after Dame's window. And it's going to be more when Simons is kind of running everything. Whereas you just mentioned, Siakam is already there. He is in that window. and he's ready to contribute to a championship team, which, I mean, he already has once. I mean, they won a championship once with him. So I'm right there with you. Siakam's number one on my trade assets. So you brought up something, and it's a valid point. Our bench would be an issue. It is an issue right now, but it would be even more of an issue. So a rumor came out. Not a rumor. It's been confirmed that Detroit's kind of having a fire sale right now with a lot of their players. But today I saw a report, and I don't know if this is true. So it's from Jake Fisher, which he usually is pretty reliable, I feel like, at least. It's not an outlandish idea of what this rumor is, so I believe it, but the Pistons are asking price for Sadiq Bey is an unprotected first round pick. He is definitely a player that can help you on the bench. He may not be the best offensively. I know this year he's kind of struggling shooting from what I've seen. But he is a very good defensive player. And I do think he's a better shooter than this year has shown. And I bet if I pull up him real quick, let me pull him up while I'm talking. I bet you his percentages are actually better for his career. And I know it's a short career, but I bet you his percentages are better than it is this year.
Yeah, I have it open. His career 3-point percentage is 35.3. This year is 29.7.
Yeah.
So okay. That's pretty bad. And even last year was significantly worse than his rookie year. Went 38 in his rookie year to 34.6 to 29.7.
And something to add to that is he's playing on a terrible team.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not getting good shots. He's probably having to force a lot of shots. He comes just like we saw with Grant. Grant was a decent shooter. He comes to Portland and he's shooting the best he's been shooting. He's hitting open threes. He's getting open threes. So there's nothing that tells me that same thing could not happen with any other player that we get here. Sadiq Bey, if we were somehow to get OG, I know he's not as good of a shooter as, you know, we want him to be, but I think he's going to probably get better shot. Well, I mean, he gets okay shots with Toronto, I feel like, but he's going to get a lot more open shots. But what's your opinion? First round pick for Sadiq Bey. Would you be okay with that trade?
I agree that he would shoot better with us than most players would. Still don't think it's worth it because I don't know how much better he would shoot. Like, he'll probably, like, I think he could go to last year's level, 35. I don't know if he gets back to 38. And even if he gets to 38, that's like 5 years ago, that would have been really good. Now that's like average for a role player, I feel like. And also, I don't know. I think
I think we lost you there for a second.
Am I back?
Yep, you're back.
Okay. Where did I leave off?
You said 38% is like average for shooting.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, 38% I feel like is average for a role player now, or like a shooter. But I was saying that I think our first round pick is like a little bit overpriced because, like, especially since we can't trade this year's pick because it's going to Chicago, and assuming we lifted the protections, we could trade any of the ones after that, after 2025. But 2025 is 3 years down the line, so who knows what can happen, you know. Then theoretically we should still be at least a playoff team, but trading an unprotected pick for him is, I personally wouldn't do that. I don't know.
Yeah,
what about you?
And I mean, I think it looks like his contract's about up, because I think he was drafted, what, 2 years, 3 years ago? 2020, I think, is when he was drafted.
So he has one more year after this year.
Okay, so I've gone back and forward on it. I think a first round pick is probably fair for him. If that first round pick was like, if you're a team that's going to be a later in the draft pick team, I think that first round pick was, I don't know, it's tough. He's right there on that like teeter zone of like, is he actually like, can he be good offensively, or is he kind of like a, like, or is he just literally just a role player that, you know, you can get in free agency for a minimum deal. Like, I think his defense makes him a little bit better than just that. The question is like, could we get something better with a first round pick? First, you know, somebody else.
Yeah, I think we can, but you bring up some interesting points. I still think he does have potential, and he showed a lot of potential earlier on in his career,
mm-hmm.
his first 2 years. So I think he could still be a really good player. Yeah, for some teams, he'd definitely be worth a first round pick. You know, someone late, late in the draft. I don't know.
But like you said, 2025. That's towards the end of the expected Dame window. So what are we in 2025? Is that a lottery pick then? Because I don't know if I would be okay with a lottery pick at that
point. Yeah, I don't think I would be either. But yeah, some other teams, they might be. So I don't think it's an unreasonable price. I just don't think it's good for us.
Yeah, and a lot can happen from here until, you know, the trade deadline. There can be a lot more players that become open. And, you know, I know Nerlens Noel is another player that's been talked about. I'm not as big a fan of that one, but I don't hate it either. I just don't think something we haven't honestly talked about, Fuad, and it's kind of crazy, is Drew Eubanks has seriously done much better than I expected him to do. I don't know about you.
100%. But I actually want to talk about that
go for
in
it.
Depth, but
go.
Really quickly, last little, you know, like, I don't know, fun fact on Sadiq Bey. If we didn't trade for Covington in 2020, we most likely would have picked Sadiq Bey with our pick number 16. We traded it to Detroit, who picked Isaiah Stewart, and also picked Sadiq Bey with another pick at 19. If we kept our 16th, I think it's very, very likely that we would have picked him. So if we did get him, it would be like a nice little closing of a story.
And I think I probably would rather have him, honestly, than Rocco, even when we traded for him. I think
it's still probably would debatable.
Yeah, I think I would have been okay with that. But go for it. Let's did you want to talk about Drew Eubanks? Is that what you want to talk about?
Sure. Yeah, I'll kick it off, I guess. I was talking about it. I think it was on Reddit. I don't think it was Discord. But it might have been like another Discord too, I'm not sure. But early on in the season, you know, we talked about in our podcast, like, one of our concerns with the team. It wasn't just us. Like, I think almost Blazers fans, like, this was one of your top concerns ish was our lack of a backup big / depth four bigs. You know, I think we both thought he did well last year, and we were like cautiously optimistic on him being good enough to be the backup center for very limited minutes this year. But he even like, and I feel like we were relatively optimistic, but he's completely blown those expectations out of the water. He's been so good. He's even improved now from like early on in the season. And even early on in the season, I thought he was doing pretty good. He's shooting 76% from the field. It's ridiculous. 76. And he's playing, you know, 18 minutes. His numbers aren't looking like his raw numbers aren't looking too special, but 6 points, four rebounds, very consistent, better defender than we thought, good on offense. There's been literally nothing that, you know, nothing more that we could ask from him. He's doing everything he's been asked to. He's been reliable. It's just very rare for us to have this consistent of a bench player. Even if his numbers aren't always consistent, his energy's there. He's always there, as a threat to put back or to cut or just, you know, make positive play somewhere. So I've been very happy with him. I'm glad that we kept him, and I'm glad that he got an opportunity to shine.
Yeah, and I'm not going to add much to it because pretty much what you said is spot on. Like you said, we were, you know, we had mentioned that we aren't against him. Like, we think he is a decent player, but we were questioning whether that's the type of player you want as your backup center. And I mean, I cannot complain. He has done so well for us. And like you said, his stats don't necessarily like blow you away, but it's not the stats necessarily that are like what it's like. He's doing all the little things. He's on pick and rolls, he's switching and he's staying with defenders. He's defensively, he's made so many blocks that I was like, there's no way. Like, we just, like, they're going to get a layup right there, and then he blocks it. And it's just like, I can't even begin to say, like, how happy I am that he's doing good, how happy I am that our worries were wrong so far. Not that, you know, not that we were like, oh, he's terrible and he's never going to, you know, he's none of that, but just he has seriously surprised me so much with how well he's played for us. And I hope that, do I still think he should be the backup center? Well, let me ask you that. Do you think he's played good enough to be the backup center, or would you still want someone a little bit better?
I think he's played well enough to earn that spot, but I would still want, you know, a third center for just for injury insurance, you know?
Yeah. So, like, let's say, like, because I agree with you. I think what he's done so far, he's definitely deserves the role he's playing. The one thing that does worry me, though, is, like, if Nurk goes down, is that the center you want starting? Like, coming in and playing, you know, 15, 20 minutes, that, you know, that's different than being the starter and playing 28, 30 minutes. And maybe he does excel at it. You know, if that does happen, we'll see.
I mean, but he started a few games this season. He's been fine.
True, true. And I truly believe he's a player that, like, it's crazy to think he, you know, he got cut from San Antonio. It was not looking like he was out of the league. And then we bring him in and look at, like, that's traded. Awesome.
He got traded by San Antonio for, like, it was a package for Thaddeus Young, but then Toronto just cut him, you know, before any games or anything for, you know, basically no reason.
Yeah. So, Drew, if you're listening somehow, we love you. We're proud of you, and just keep it up, because your energy, your effort, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Wesley Matthews, where sometimes Wesley Matthews, all the stuff he did, it didn't show up necessarily on the stat sheet, but if you watched the game, you knew he had a big impact on the game. So
shout out to the Shack of Trout, though.
Yeah, right. Is there, I feel like I'm forgetting something. Oh, I don't know if I've mentioned this or not, but next week we will be doing a listener podcast. So if you're still listening at this point in the podcast and you want to be a part of it, let us know. Twitter, Discord, anywhere you're listening, just let us know. I'm sure you can figure out a way to get a hold of us. We're pretty active in a lot of places. So if you want to be a part of it, we love those episodes. They're a lot of fun to talk with everybody and get everyone's opinions. So we're looking forward to it. And it's been a while since we did it. So was there anything? Oh, we're forgetting one giant thing. Damian Lillard is now the franchise leader for points. We haven't even talked about that.
That slipped my mind. We talked about it before the episode, and
yes. So let's touch on this real quick, and then we're gonna wrap it up with just the next couple games, our predictions. So Dame last night against Oklahoma, unfortunately we lost. It was a tough game to watch, but Dame broke the record. He needed 21 points. He finished with 28, I believe, 27 or 28.
Yesterday, 28.
Okay. So he has passed Clyde Drexler. It would have been awesome to have him, you know, do it in Portland. Or second best thing would probably have been to do it in front of Clyde Drexler. I know a lot of us were hoping if it was going to be away, it would be in Houston. So, but I mean, hey, you know what? There's nothing more. I mean, I've made it well known that in my opinion, he's the greatest Blazer of all time. I know Bill Walton has a case. I know Clyde Drexler has a case. But in my opinion, what he has done for us these 10 years in basketball and out of basketball, he's the greatest Blazer of all time. And it's not just because it's who I've grown up watching. My mom, like, she is a huge, huge Clyde Drexler fan. And she, anytime I bring up Blazers basketball, she's always talking about how she wishes Clyde Drexler was still playing. So believe me when I say this, as I have seen plenty of Clyde Drexler in my life, and he was a very good player, but in my opinion, Dame's the greatest. He's franchise leader in points now, franchise leader in threes. This man is special. We are so lucky to have him. Is there anything you want to add to that?
Well, not much. You know, I'm a relatively new Blazers fan. He's one of my favorite players, so I don't have the same connection with Walton and Drexler, who are the other two that are like sometimes in the conversation. But I feel like even people who have been Blazers fans all their lives and like grew up with, like you said, with Drexler and Walton, I feel like almost everyone is starting to shift towards Dame. And I think that mm-hmm. with, you know, by the time his career is over, it'll be consensus. So I'm super glad to have Dame. He's, again, my favorite player of all time. He's earned everything that he's gotten. And I think, honestly, you covered everything. I'm so glad it happened. It was just a matter of time. Like, I think we knew for a while that he was going to get it.
Yeah, and this, we lost to the Thunder, and I truly feel like a lot of it was, I don't know, did you watch that whole game?
Yesterday, I think so. I might have missed the start of the third. It's been happening a couple games in a row. I keep missing the start of the third, but
it seemed like they were really force-feeding Dame the ball to try to get him that record, and it kind of took a toll on the entire team, because Dame didn't end up getting it until, like, 7 minutes in the fourth quarter or something. Like, it was... He started out okay, and then it kind of cooled off a little bit, and it took him a while. But I think that really did kind of put a damper on trying to win that game, and it came down to Dame hitting a reverse layup to take the lead. Or no, was it to tie? Free throw. Did he hit free throws?
To break the record, it was on a free throw.
No. Yeah, so, yeah, I meant to say that. We were all talking about, how is he going to break? Is he going to hit a three? Is he going to dunk? What's going to happen? And someone said, watch him. It's going to end up being free throws, and it's going to be, like, the most anticlimactic. And it was. It was free throws, but still, it don't matter. You break a record. It's awesome. They called timeout. Everyone cheered for him. They brought his son down to him on the bench. I mean, it's just, we witnessed history last night, and there's no other player I think I would want to watch that happen for than Lillard.
Even the OKC arena gave him like a shout out and like a mini tribute. Yep. So that was nice. I like that.
Yep. Do you think they included him waving them off the court?
Was
that included in the video?
I don't remember seeing it, but I, you know,
my guess would be no. Doubt it. But Dame, man, he's special, and we're so lucky to have him. But let's jump, before we wrap it up, let's jump to the next three games we have here before our next podcast. We have another game in Oklahoma City tomorrow. I expect us to win this game. Now that the record's behind us, they won on a game winner. Shai Gilgeous is a great player as well. He gets away with a lot of push-offs, I noticed in that game. He pushes off a lot when he drives. He gets away with it. He gets to the free throw line a lot. But I don't see them beating us twice. And honestly, I honestly feel like we lost that game. I don't feel like Oklahoma won it just because, well, I mean, I guess they did, because it was a close game. So, my prediction is we beat Oklahoma City, and I don't think it's going to be I think it will beat them handily. I don't think it's going to be like a blowout, but I also don't think it's going to be close either.
Yeah, I think like a solid like 6 to 10 point win. Like Shai is a ridiculous player. He should be an all-star. And I think he'll probably have a good game again, but I don't think I don't know. I don't see them winning two in a row. I could be wrong. Who knows? But I agree.
So your guess is we win two? Yeah. Next is Denver on Friday, and this is at Denver as well. The other team to beat us on a game winner, Jamal Murray. I have a friend I work with who is a Denver Nugget fan. And so he was, that whole day, he was talking about how he was expecting us to beat them and how Jamal's, you know, he's been struggling and how bad he sucks. And then lo and behold, he's the reason they win. So this is going to be another tough game. I'm looking forward to it. And I think I want us to get revenge. I don't know. Denver is a strange team. They're kind of like us, where Jokic has to do so much for them. And it kind of reminds me of how Dame has to do so much for us, you know, in past years. And this year, not as much, but in past years, Jokic is putting up crazy stat numbers. Like, just the other night, he had 40 points, like 28 rebounds or something like that, and 10 assists. Like, just
ridiculous.
Just insane numbers. And like, we obviously know it's always a tough game when we play Denver. It's kind of become a little rivalry. So I hope we win. I don't think we win, though, but I hope we do. I just have a feeling being in Denver, I don't know. For some reason, it seems like Denver's had our number lately. So what's your projection on Denver?
Yeah, Jokic has been on tear. Nuggets have been really good, too. I don't have their standings on me, but I think I remember seeing they became the number one seed last
year. They're 18 and 11. Yep, 18 and 11.
Okay, and, you know, Jokic, he's been crazy, and we seem to not do very well in Denver, especially Dame specifically. So that one's a little bit, I feel like it might be tough, but you know, after losing on a game winner to them like what 10 days ago, I kind of feel like we're going to come out strong and we're going to take that win back. So I'm going to have a mini hot take and say we win.
No, and it's very possible. I mean, I know they were pissed off losing that game and, you know, giving Jamal that shot. So very possible. And then the last game is Charlotte. I don't even, do we even need to guess if we're going to win this game or not? I don't think this is going to be one of those games I feel like where we're going to see some junk minutes. Charlotte is just, unfortunately, I mean, maybe fortunately for them, but just unfortunately are not very competitive. Is LaMelo back?
Yeah, I just saw that a couple games ago.
So that may help a little bit, but I don't know if it's going to help a lot. I don't see us losing this game at all. So my prediction on this one is that we win this one easily.
Yeah, it could be a trap game, but I feel like OKC was the one that where we kind of let our guard down, and I don't see it happening again so soon.
These next three games, I'm saying 2-1, but I definitely wouldn't be surprised if it's 3-0. And I think it sounds like you're 3-0.
Yeah, I'm saying 3-0. Let's hope I'm right, but I'm the opposite of you. I think I could see it being 2-1, obviously.
See what happens. Yeah. Anything else you want to say?
All-star voting is now open. So go vote for Dame, go vote for Ant, and go vote for Jeremy Grant.
Yep. Get those three in there. That'd be awesome. If we got all three of those in there, I don't even know what I'd do. I'd lose my mind. I don't know how it happens, but I'd be so happy.
Would need a couple injuries.
That's true. That is true. Okay. One last thing I want to shout out real quick for all you football fans. If you did not watch on Saturday, the Minnesota Vikings, that's my team right there. And, you know, being down 33-0 at halftime and coming back and winning the game, setting the NFL record for the biggest comeback. We're the real deal. Our defense may suck, but hey, we got Justin Jefferson, the best wide receiver. I know this is a basketball podcast, but I'm just too hyped for that. I was so excited. It was an insane game. Football is very fun to watch. I know, Fawad, you said you're trying to get into football, so Minnesota is always here for you if you need them.
We'll see about that.
Okay, if you guys are listening, and like I mentioned, if you want to get in on the listener podcast next week, let us know. We'll get you in there for sure. It's a good time. Other than that, I hope you guys have a good day, a good night, and as always, Rip City, baby. Thanks to My Life Pursuing for the music used on the intros and the outros of this podcast. You can check them out on all major streaming platforms at My Life Pursuing.